Good morning. So my mic is on, so I don't have to walk back and forth. Something happened this week in Brandon. The first time ever happened in Brandon. Anyone has a clue what happened in Brandon this week? A teenager got a ticket. A $50 fine because he was not wearing a helmet. In our world, here in Canada, and I'm a Canadian citizen, I live in Canada for, if I count all the years together, about 25 years. By law, we have to wear seatbelts. By law, we cannot use a phone while we drive. Although here in Canada, we have very small fines for this. I heard in Switzerland, when they catch you using the phone, you don't get a $100 fine or a $200 fine, but you can walk the rest of your life. You lose a ticket. We should not text. We should wear a helmet when we ride a motorcycle or even a bike, even a tricycle. Our little kids, they have to wear helmets or even snowmobiles. And we talk a lot about safety in the workplace. And I think all of these things are excellent, protecting us. Sometimes I have the feeling we take that let's play it safe into our church, in our Christian life. Let's take no risks. And I wrote it down, sometimes we like to play it safe as Christians as well. We don't want to shake things up. I don't know the history of your church. So I come not with that, now what can I say, what can I not say? Sometimes we try to avoid confrontation. This is the real Canadian way. We want to be politically correct. We want not to stand up. And I will not touch certain issues. I'm very strong today. We want to stay in our four walls. We basically don't want to rock the boat. And this morning and next Sunday, I want to talk about R&R in the Christian life. R&R is something totally different than what you assume. First of all, R, the first R is the Christian life is a risky business. And next Sunday, a total different focus that, but it comes together, the Christian life is a rewarding business. But without taking risks, it cannot be a rewarding business. I have here a little booklet with me by a young man written. It's called Radical Together. He says, if the ultimate goal of the church is to take the gospel to all people groups, then everything we do in the church must be aimed toward this. And I posted that statement a few months ago on Facebook. And then I wrote an ad to it. And I wrote, one of these people groups, one of these unreached people groups is the country of Austria. And I will not go list all the countries that have more Christians than Austria. But just a few. North Korea has more Christians. Nepal has more Christians. Burma, Myanmar has more Christians. Any countries in South, Central, North America have more Christians. And people were shocked, were surprised. What I'd like to do, take you on a trip this morning, going to a mission trip that is recorded in the Bible. Some people call it the first short-term mission trip, but mission is changing. Years ago, people talked about a short-term mission trip is everything up to 2 years. And some people try to determine that Acts chapter 13 and 14, what we normally call the first missionary trip of Paul and Barnabas, correctly, Barnabas and his helper Paul, took about 2 years. I want to take a few lessons out, since I keep to my time, They gave me a time, how long I can speak. I asked. By the way, we had a very short worship time this morning. I was once at Kadıköy International Chapel in Istanbul, Turkey. After 1 hour of worship time, I was sitting down. We had a 2-hour, 45-minute worship service and about 2 hours worship time. So I will keep up to my time. The missionary trip that Paul and Barnabas and Paul took gives us some lessons about that the Christian ministry is really a risky business. By the way, I don't know how many churches you drove by this morning when you came to church. I know I hear some of you just live a few yards away. I think I drove along, as I started counting too late, between 15 and 20 churches. Do you know, that's the same number of churches that are in Istanbul, Turkey. And Turkey is not a small town like Winnipeg. It's not a small town like Toronto. Turkey has between 17 and 20 million people. And they have 20 churches. Perhaps you think, we are here in Maranatha E-Free Church. By the way, I grew up in an E-Free Church in Switzerland, so I have a connection this morning. You think you're a small church. But many churches in Istanbul, when I counted the locals, there would be so many as sitting in each section here. The first of all, what I want to say, it's risky business to be a commissioned to global ministry. A famous part in Acts 13 is the very beginning. It says here, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, who has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Paul and Saul. While they worshipped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after I have fasted and prayed, they placed a hand on them and sent them off. So there was a church. Can you imagine? They had a 5-member church board. I don't know how you organize a new church. My church in North Kildonan, we have a pastor, associate, a moderator, and a secretary, and 8 council members, if we're able to fill the post. Can you imagine? Suddenly the Holy Spirit says to Maranatha E-Free Church, 2 of you are 5 leaders. I will send you out on a short-term mission trip. This is risky business. And I think very often we don't do that anymore. That's why we have Mission Mobilizer, some of these very nerds in our time, and I'm one of them. And it's very dangerous, actually, to invite me. I don't know what you got into it. For last year, I had a goal to contact at least 100 new potential missionaries. And I prayed and worked hard, and I came up with about 120. Some of them spent 2-3 weeks in Asia and Europe, in North Africa. We don't see that too much, that suddenly the pastor comes on your shoulder and says, I think you should go on a mission trip. Or I think you should go to a Bible college with the aim to go on a mission field full time. Although many of the missionaries are working with OM. I would say many. They went out with no Bible college training. Right now, there's a young lady from Saskatoon. Her name is Christine, an awesome young lady. All what she did, she went to a capable school in Victoria in Vancouver Island. And now she's a leader in a country of Montenegro. How many of you know where Montenegro is? Ever heard about it? It was once part of Yugoslavia. It's a small country with about 350,000-400,000 people, with about 150 Christians. And she's right now there as a team leader. There's actually one church, and actually it's a church here in Winnipeg, who actually applied that. City Church, more in the center of town, they decided to host Winnipeg Challenge for 3 consecutive years. And before they did that, they appointed 4 people from the church going to a similar event like Winnipeg Challenge in Toronto. And they reflected the flavor of the church. There was a girl, Caucasian. There was a fellow, he was from Congo, but actually grew up in Tanzania as a refugee. And there were 2 from Burma, from 2 people, different people groups. And when I listened to Harry, the fellow from Congo, I would never send him. He was not a committed Christian. He didn't go regularly to church, but the pastors saw potential. By the way, Barnabas and Paul, as far as I know, as far as I studied the book of Acts, they never came back to stay back. The church in Antioch lost them to reaching unreached people groups. But there's a second aspect to that: the Christian ministry is a risky business. It is the communication or the proclamation of the Word of God. The Word of God is risky business. It was in 2007, I was supposed to go on a mission trip to Tajikistan in Central Asia, and for whatever reason, suddenly they said, no, you cannot go, and I ended up in Turkey. And so I got emails from Turkey from one of our long-term workers there, and suddenly mid-April, she sent me another email, she said, oh, something happened in Malatya, in eastern part of Turkey, 3 Christians got killed. But don't worry, they are about 16 bus hours away. I think everybody in Canada, in Winnipeg perhaps, it was announced, knew it except one person. But 2 people in my church in North Kildonan, they started to pray a little bit more because they heard, he's going to Turkey. They just killed 3 people there. Everybody except one person. And I remember the last Sunday before I went on that trip, an old lady, a mother of a very close friend, said to me, so kind of, but you hear? You hear what happened there? I said, yes, I do. Are you going? I said, yes. A few days after I left, a very good friend of our family asked my wife, or made the comment, how could you let him? And she said, what? I mean, he's going. He's gone. My wife was the only one in the whole world, I would almost say, whole of Winnipeg, who did not know what happened in Malatya, as 2 Turks and a German got brutally murdered. Proclamation of the gospel is risky business. There are several incidents in Acts chapter 13 and 14 where Barnabas and Paul experienced persecution. There were one city called Lystra. It's amazing. It's in a way funny. At one time, the people in Lystra want to worship Barnabas and Paul. And then Barnabas and Paul said, no, we are just people. And a few days later, they stoned him to death, but not to death. If we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's across the street or across the ocean, we will experience its risky business. A third element I want to mention in the gospel and book of Acts in these first missionary journey as well. It's risky business, a confrontation of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Verse 6, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. And there we see in that event, I will not read the whole passage, a confrontation of darkness and light. Very early in my Christian life, I just finished 1 year Bible school in Germany, and at that Bible school, we stayed on campus. We had children, family camps, youth camp. And we, there was a family camp, and we were responsible for the children. And the parents were together with one of the teachers, had Bible lessons, and we told them Bible stories. And there was one boy, and the mother said, he is always suffering of asthma. Not knowing what his mom heard at the Bible teaching session, but for whatever reason, she phoned home. She told her husband he should remove some stones in the yard. These were not stones like sometimes we have. These were stones with demonic power that that boy's grandma put there. And that night, we almost lost the boy because Satan doesn't want to give in. Very early in my life, in my Christian life, in my life in ministry, I realized the confrontation of darkness and light. And whenever we enter into this world, we are confronted with darkness. I'm not someone who sees the devil in everything, and I also not see that Satan doesn't exist. By the way, Austria has 85% of its population had dealing with occult. You see shrines all over the countryside. You see houses dedicated. They don't know it. It's dedicated to Satan. As example, upon Sunday in Austria, the people take branches to the Catholic Church. And the priest blesses these branches. Nothing special. But these people take these branches home, put them in the stove, and the smoke of these blessed branches should get rid of bad spirits. Now, this is not Haiti. This is not a voodoo religion. This is pagan Europe. A fourth item, risky business. Sometimes it gets too much for people. Now I'm saying we know the rest of the story, but before it got really serious, verse 5 at the end, John Mark, the writer of the second gospel, was with them, the helper, and later on we read that he left home. He quit. It's amazing. I'm following some friends. In the 70s, they were extremely dedicated to the Lord. Now follow them on Facebook. They quit. I met a pastor once. I was in the church in Saskatchewan, and he just turned 60. And as I asked him, what is he doing? Oh, in 2 months, he retires. And then he's working on his bucket list. All these things he wanted to do. And I asked him, what is on your bucket list? Oh, I want by my motorcycle, I want to travel from Saskatchewan to Florida. Don't quit. I'm not done yet. You're not done yet. We just commissioned one of our workers, a new worker, to Africa. A young fellow. He's a retired school teacher. He's 72 years old. And he's right now in Zambia. He started his first of about 10 years ministry in Zambia 3 months ago. I'm telling you, 72. I have a big brother in my church. His name is John. He was a missionary with a Canadian Evangelical, Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. He was church planter in Alaska, or on Alaska Highway. He is still working for the Lord. He lives in an apartment. He organizes church services. He initiated a mission focus in our church. Something takes risk. And I'd like to mention as closing, out of this little booklet by David Platt, he says, if we were willing to take some risks, if we are willing to alter our lifestyle, I will not go into details. If we are willing to organize a church around taking the gospel to people who have never heard the Christ, we would see every people group on the planet reached with the gospel. The video showed a little bit certain areas where Christ is not known. As example, countries like Turkey. And a friend wrote an interesting article. By the way, that friend was in four countries missionary. He was a missionary in China, yes, not 50 years ago, 10 years ago. He was a missionary in Kazakhstan, a neighboring country. He was a missionary in Turkey. That's where I met him. And then he was a missionary for 10 days in Austria. And I asked him, which of these four countries you would not want to return back because it's so difficult? Guess what his answer was to me? Austria. And he wrote an article. He said, if the spiritual condition of Turkey or many other Muslim countries in that region will be transformed to Canada, to Western Canada, between Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia, they would have 15 believers. He says there would be one believer in the whole province of Manitoba. Can you imagine? We have to take risks. We have to move out of our comfort zone. And if you want to ask me more, talk to me in my booth. It's a risky business. Paul and Barnabas has moved out and never came back. They came back, and we will look next week as we look on the reward. It's not just the risky, but the rewarding business. Some people quit. John quit. Jonah, initially, he was disobedient to God, and he wanted to go a different place. Some of you say, yeah, but the world comes to us. Yes. As OM Canada, here in Winnipeg, we conducted for 3 years a Winnipeg Challenge, reaching out exactly to the world, to Muslims, Hindus, and Sikhs. And in 3 years, I found about five people from the larger Winnipeg area to join, learning about Muslims, learning about Hindus, going in a temple, going to the mosque, and reaching out. I remember last summer 2012, I was at Central Park. I will never forget, there was a lady with about four children. The six-year-old boy was in a stroller. She was from Afghanistan. Her husband got killed by the Taliban as he was protecting Canadian soldiers. And she came here to Canada. And the first time in her life, she heard the gospel. Let's take risks. There are people out across the street, across the country, across the world who never heard the gospel. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you that you saved us, that we as your children, not just saved us to enjoy life, although you blessed us with many things, but then that we be a light, a salt in this world. And sometimes that means that it's a risky business. Step out of our comfort zone into this world. Father, we thank you. In your name. Amen.